For the rest of the world, Christians, Christmas is over. People have started to take down their Christmas displays, and all that's really left in the stores is the discounted stuff, and even that's been thoroughly picked over by now. And the stores have begun to set up for Valentine's Day in anticipation of the next big event. And even the radios have stopped playing Christmas music. As far as the world is concerned, Christmas ended last Thursday. But for us as Christians, Christmas goes on. And I don't just mean the season of Christmas, which we're in right now, because the 12 days of Christmas lead up to January the 5th. Technically, today is the fifth day of Christmas, the day of the five golden rings, as the song goes. But for us, Christmas is much more than just this time of year. It does not end on a particular day. Rather, Christmas goes on because the birth of Christ shapes us and makes us into something new. Consider what Peter has to say in our epistle reading for today from 1 Peter chapter 2. He quotes our Old Testament reading from Isaiah in verse 6 when he says, "For it stands in Scripture, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame." The laying of the cornerstone is the most important part of erecting that kind of building. The whole building depends on it, because God is not talking about a ceremonial cornerstone like we normally put on our buildings. If you go out into the hall, you would see ours. That's not what he has in mind here. Rather, it is the foundation of the entire structure. Everything depends on it. A bad cornerstone means a weak building, no matter how well built the rest of the structure may be. Of course, that's true of any kind of foundation. But laying the cornerstone implies a beginning. And the beginning of our faith is the birth of Christ. And of course, this doesn't exclude his death and resurrection. Those things are foundational too. But his birth is certainly in view here. And that birth shapes who we are. Because Christians, Peter quotes this verse as a proof of what he says just before, starting in verse 4. He says, "As you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." Jesus is that cornerstone. He is that cornerstone laid in Zion, that living stone. But you Christians are also like living stones. You are the remainder of that building, built upon that cornerstone. And through Jesus Christ, you are being built up into a new structure. God has taken you out of the field of the world, gathered you in like so many rocks, and is now building you up together, stacking you on top of each other, mortaring you together, so that through Jesus Christ, you have become part of the church of God, one structure made of many stones. And as part of this one structure, Christians, God has made you to be his priests, offering up spiritual sacrifices, prayer, of thanksgiving, and of good works, so that like the priests and the Levites of the Old Testament, you now serve God in everything. God has taken you out of the world. That is no longer who you are. Through him, you have become something new. God's holy temple, his dwelling place here on earth. And even what he says in these verses, Christians, is a proof of what he says at the beginning of our reading, starting in verse 1. So So put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Being a part of this temple means something for your daily lives. There is no room for malice. There is no room for deceit or hypocrisy or envy or slander in the church of God. Those things belong to the world, but you're no longer part of the world. Through the birth of Christ, you have been taken out of the world and made into something new. Let me put it this way. Take this building as an example. If someone came into this building and did something evil, how would you feel? If they turned it into a bar or, God forbid, something worse, how would you react? Well, of course, you'd be upset, right? That's not how we should treat this building. This is the place that we have dedicated to God. It should be set aside only for that purpose. The world has no place in it. But Christians, why then do we tolerate the evils that we do in the body? Because you, after all, are the temple of God. God dwells in you, not in this building. We dedicate this building to Him, but you are His temple. And if you would be upset at this building being mistreated, well, then we should be even more upset if the true temple of God is mistreated. There is no place for the things of this world in the church of God, because this is not who you have been called to be. And seeing Christmas as something that happens more than just once a year also helps us to understand this, because it helps us to see how the birth of Christ shapes us into something new. If we think of it only as something limited, only something that happens in December once every year, well then, Christians, what is the point? Is the birth of Christ something that we just remember for a short time before going on to life as normal? Is it something that we think about briefly before living just as we always have? There's always the temptation in that case to treat his birth as a kind of insurance policy, something that is good to have when we need it, but we don't always need it. After all, change how I live based on the kind of insurance that I have. If I am a better Christian on December 25th than I am on December 29th, then I've missed the point. Jesus has not come to make us into good little girls and boys once a year in the hope of getting presents. Jesus has been born to transform us, to change us, to make us into something new. Jesus has been born to build us up as the holy temple of God, the very dwelling place of God on earth. Because as Peter says in verse 9, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Christians, God has chosen you through Jesus. God has made you to be his priesthood through Jesus. God has made you to be a holy nation through Jesus. He has called you to be his own, called you out of darkness into light through Jesus. Through Jesus, Christians, you are no longer part of this world. Through Jesus, you have been brought out of the bondage to sin. And through Jesus, you have been made into his living temple. Through Jesus, you have been given eternal life. God has done all of these things out of the mercy that he has shown to you through Jesus Christ. You didn't deserve it. None of us do. Yet God still did it for the sake of his Son. And God has not shown this unimaginable mercy to us so that we can turn back to darkness. Because why act as if Jesus means nothing? Why turn away from such undeserved grace? Why slander our brother when Jesus has forgiven us? Why give in to anger when Jesus has saved us? Why should we be envious when Jesus has delivered us? Why should we be part of the world any longer? No, Christians, this is not who we are. We are God's people now. Therefore, let us forgive as we have first been forgiven. Let us love as we have first been loved. And let us bear with one another as God first bore with us in Jesus Christ. Because Christians, Christmas is not just a past memory. It's not something that ended last Wednesday. Just because there's no Christmas music on the radio doesn't mean that it's gone entirely until next year. Rather, let us walk in the light of Christmas each and every day, because Jesus, our true light, has brought us out of darkness forever and leads us in the ways of God. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, you have given us your Son, Jesus Christ, to bring us out of darkness into your marvelous light. Make us more and more like him in everything, so that we may do what is pleasing in your sight. In his name we pray. Amen.